Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Amen. Well, as I said at the beginning of our liturgy, today is the feast of the presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. And this is commonly known as Candlemas because the tradition developed that at this time people would bring the candles that they would use throughout the year in their own household to the church to have them blessed. How exactly it got tied to the feast of the presentation of the Lord, I'm not entirely sure, but that is the tradition. Most folks don't light their houses with candles anymore, and for whatever reason, the practice never developed for people to start bringing their light bulbs in to be blessed. So we started off by handing you candles and lighting them at the beginning of our liturgy. And our readings are different because of this. And we're not following the normal lectionary for Sunday because the feast has fallen on a Sunday and therefore takes precedence in the readings over the normal Sunday readings. And so we get this great story from Luke's gospel about Mary and Joseph going to the temple to perform the purification rites. And in fact, that the older name for this feast, I believe, was the Feast of the Purification of Mary, because she's following the traditions, the law of Israel, the law given to Moses, and then through Moses to the people on Mount Sinai. She's following that law and those traditions of making sacrifice for purification. And so Mary and Joseph traveling with her, because at that time women did not travel alone or travel without a man. And I suppose they couldn't find a babysitter, so they bring the baby Jesus with them. And they go from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, which is not that far away. And they do the purification rites in the temple. And there in the temple are these two characters who we haven't heard of or seen before and we will not hear of or see again. Simeon, a righteous and devout man who is waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the prophet Anna. And these two people recognize who the baby Jesus is and what his importance is. And each of them responds in their own way. And as is typical for ancient documents, we get what Simeon, the man, says, and we don't get what Anna, the female prophet, says. And we are left only to wonder and speculate about her words. But I do want to call attention to Simeon's words, what is sometimes referred to as the Nunc Dimittis, which is the Latin of the first two words of his song, the Song of Simeon, which our choir chanted for us. And those who are familiar with the daily office and evening prayer or compline are used to saying, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace as you have promised. This song of Simeon has always spoken to me. I can't say in a particular way, but something about it has kind of haunted me. This song of a man who is ready to die. who has lived long enough in this fallen world and seen just how distorted the world is by sin and evil. And yet holds on, waiting to see what had been promised to him by the Holy Spirit. That is the world's salvation. A light to enlighten the nations or the Gentiles and the glory of God's people Israel. So that I imagine that Simeon probably day by day sat at the temple waiting for this promise to be fulfilled. And I imagine that people may have passed by, having gotten to know Simeon, having seen him there day after day, and perhaps they would say to him, "What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for, Simeon?" And I wonder whether or not Simeon knew how to answer that question. If he knew just what it was that he was waiting for, just what it was he was looking for. Did he know that he would see what was promised to him in the form of a baby brought into the temple by a couple of peasants from Nazareth? Did he know that that's what he was waiting for? Or did he himself wonder to himself, just what is it that I am waiting for? What am I waiting for? I'm ready to go. I'm ready to die, Lord, but you have promised that I will see this thing. What is it that you have promised I will see? What is it that I am waiting for? There's something about this that really strikes me. That what Simeon was called to do, the gift that he was given, the purpose of his life, was to wait. Was to wait in patience. It seems like an odd thing to expect of someone. It seems like an odd gift to give to someone, to wait, to patiently wait on the Lord. I mean, in our culture, waiting is something that we just cannot stand to do. We hate waiting. I mean, think about it. Think about the last time you went to the DMV. So we try and find other things to do to fill our time. We try and multitask. We bring, if you're like me, you bring a book with you. Or now, we have a godsend. We have the cell phone. So we can sit and play Candy Crush. And be productive in that way. Whenever we have to wait, we can send emails, we can send text messages, we can Facebook stalk our friends. Whatever it takes to avoid having to just sit and wait. It's the last thing that we want to do in our culture. I mean, who's been to King's Dominion or to Busch Gardens or Disney World or whatever, and you see a line, a long line for a ride, and you're like, well, I'm not waiting in that line. I'll go ride the Scooby-Doo ride. I'll get in the teacups. I'm not waiting that long. We just don't want to wait. And I think this this influences us in all sorts of ways, all sorts of levels. It's why, in one sense, we feel like we always have to be working, even when we're not at work, checking our email, responding to our coworkers, even when we're supposed to have the day off. I think it's why we often feel shamed by people who come around and tell us what we should be doing with our time and with our resources. You know, there are people suffering in the world. What are you waiting around for? Go do something about it. I mean, recently, of course, we have this coronavirus that has begun to spread, and words like pandemic are being thrown around. And so all of us want to know, what can we do? What's the thing that we should be doing right now? Please tell us what to do. We don't want to wait and find out if we're going to get it. We want to do something about it. None of us, a few of y'all are doctors, but none of the rest of us are doctors. So there's nothing we can do, but what can we do to prevent it? And then they tell us, well, you just wash your hands. And we think, wash our hands? Come on, we do that every day. Give us something to do about this. Give us something to do. Because the last thing we want to do is sit and wait like Simeon. The philosopher, contemporary philosopher, Slavoj Žižek, say that name three times fast, in his book on violence, has suggested that this is one of those little ways that our culture actually supports violence in the world, because we're always looking to do something about what's happening in the world. And he said, you know, we get this this phrase, don't just sit there and do, you know, but go do something. Don't just sit there, do something. He said, but what if we changed the way that we thought about that? What if we said, don't just do something, sit there. Sit there and think for a while. Take the time to think about these problems that you're ready to run off and address. Think about what those actions you might do instinctually, what their consequences might actually be. Not just short term, but long term. What if we didn't just go do something, but we did stop and think and pray and wait? Now, I'm not saying that that's what we're supposed to do in every case and every situation, but it seems to be what none of us are willing to do in any case or any situation. And yet that's what the Lord God called Simeon to do, to wait, to think, to pray, to anticipate, to expect. To be patient. Patience is a virtue that requires hope, and it requires faith. Being willing to wait, to set aside our attempt to control situations. That demands patience, which requires a hope that God is in control and a faith that God may well have something to reveal to us if we are patient enough to wait upon Him. Of course, if we do that, we might get criticism. People might pass us by and say, "What are you waiting for?" We might have to struggle with that question ourselves, just as Simeon did, because we may not know just what it is we're waiting for. We may ask ourselves, what are we waiting for? And yet, I want to suggest to you this morning that patience is a virtue. And more than that, it is a gift when we have been called to it by the Lord our God. To not have to do something, but to take the time to think about the consequences and repercussions of what we are doing. To take the time to lift up our lives in prayer to our Lord, and be directed in hope and faith towards that which he promises us. I wonder what it's like to live a life like that. And I wonder what each of us is waiting for. I take it as a matter of faith that God has placed hope in our hearts through our baptism, that God has placed faith in our hearts by baptism, that God has placed love in our hearts through our baptism. And so each of us has within us this virtue and this gift of patience. And so the question is, for each and every one of you, what are you waiting for? Amen.